ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 11, Swayambhuva Manu advises Dhruva Maharaj, Text 31.
Samyatcha, Rosham, Vadram, Te, Pratipam, Shreyasam, Param, Srutena, Bhuyasa, Rajan, Agadena, Yatha, Amayam, Sanyatcha Rosham Bhadram Te, Pratipam Shreyasam Param, Shrutena Bhuyasa Rajan, Agadena Yathamayam, Sanyatcha Rosham Bhadram Te, Pratipam Shreyasam Param, Shrutena Bhuyasa Rajan, Agadena Yathamayam, Sanyatcha Rosham Bhadram Te, Pratipam Shreyasam Param, Shrutena Bhuyasa Rajan, Agadena Yathamayam.
Vaishnavis. Sangyacha, just control. Rosham, anger. Bhadram, all good fortune. Te, to you. Pratipam, enemy. Shreyasam, of all goodness. Param, the foremost. Shrutena, by hearing. Bhuyasa, constantly.
Rajan,
my dear king.
Agadena,
by medicinal treatment.
Yata,
as.
Amayam,
disease. Translation. My dear king, just consider what I have said to you, which will act as medicinal treatment upon disease. Control your anger, for anger is the foremost enemy on the path of spiritual realization. I wish all good fortune for you. Please follow my instructions. Purport. Dhruva Maharaj was a liberated soul, and actually he was not angry with anyone. But because he was the ruler, it was his duty to become angry for some time in order to keep law and order in the state. His brother Uttam was without fault, yet he was killed by one of the Yakshas. It was the duty of Dhruva Maharaj to kill the offender, life for life, because Dhruva was the king. When the challenge came, Dhruva Maharaj fought vehemently and punished the Yakshas sufficiently. But anger is such that if one increases it, it increases unlimitedly. In order that Dhruva Maharaj's kingly anger not exceed the limit, Manu was kind enough to check his grandson. Dhruva Maharaj could understand the purpose of his grandfather, and he immediately stopped the fighting. The words, Shrutena Bhuyasa, by constantly hearing, are very important in this verse. By constantly hearing about devotional service, one can check the force of anger, which is detrimental to the process of devotional service. Srila Purchit Maharaj said that the constant hearing of the pastimes of the Lord is the panacea for all material diseases. Everyone, therefore, should hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly. By hearing, one can always remain in equilibrium, and thus his progress in spiritual life will not be hampered. Dhruva Maharaj's becoming angry with the miscreants was quite appropriate. There is a short story in this connection about a snake who became a devotee upon instruction by Narada, who instructed him not to bite anymore. Since ordinarily a snake's business is to fatally bite other living entities, as a devotee he was forbidden to do so. Unfortunately, people took advantage of this nonviolence on the part of the snake, especially the children, who began to throw stones at him. He did not bite anyone, however, because it was the instruction of his spiritual master. After a while, when the snake met his spiritual master, Narada, he complained, "I have given up the bad habit of biting innocent living entities, but they are mistreating me by throwing stones at me." Upon hearing this, Narada Muni instructed him, "Don't bite, but do not forget to expand your hood as if you're going to bite. Then they will go away." Similarly, a devotee is always nonviolent. He is qualified with all good characteristics. But in the common world, when there is mischief made by others, he should not forget to become angry, at least for the time being, in order to drive away the miscreants. Translation again, please repeat. My dear king, just consider what I have said to you, which will act as medicinal treatment upon disease. Control your anger, for anger is the foremost enemy on the path of spiritual realization. I wish all good fortune for you. Please follow my instructions. Om Gyanachimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This situation of Dhruva Maharaj fighting the Yakshas is very interesting, just like the situation of Arjuna fighting in the battle of Kurukshetra, and also the situation of Yudhisthira Maharaj's involvement in the Kurukshetra war and his lamentation. First of all, understand how Dhruva got into this situation. This world is such that complexities and perplexities arise. That is the nature of this world. Yet when it happens like that, people become bewildered. They become shocked. What a situation. How can something happen like this? When that is indeed the very nature of this world. So, Dhruva Maharaja's brother, Uttam, was killed by the Yakshas. This same brother who, Dhruva Maharaj, before seeing Krishna, Dhruva Maharaj wanted revenge against. Because, as you know, the brother was occupying the favorite position on the father's lap. So now, Dhruva Maharaj is so angry that his brother has been killed that he's fighting ferociously with all the Yakshas. The Yakshas apparently were about to overwhelm Dhruva with their, especially with their mystical warfare. The sages appeared by the inspiration of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and encouraged Dhruva, take shelter of the transcendental sound vibration. Take shelter of the holy name of Krishna and annihilate all your enemies. So remember, Dhruva Maharaj is not concocting. He's not acting on his own. He was encouraged by the representatives of the Lord to fight ferociously and overwhelm the Yakshas, who had almost overwhelmed him. Now, however, it gets to the point where Dhruva is doing the job so well that the sages, particularly Swayambhuva Manu, his grandfather, has to come and calm him down. Please understand, at every step of the way, Dhruva is acting under the guidance of superior authority. He's not freelancing. The sages told him, fight and annihilate. And now the sages are telling him, calm down, well done, you've done your job. Don't get too carried away because then it could appear to be sinful activity. Swayambhuva Manu tells Dhruva that you're a pure devotee, so you have to be conscious of the example you're setting for others. You've already seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You're liberated. What do you need to accomplish by wiping out all the Yakshas? Swayambhuva Manu was concerned that Dhruva Maharaj might be accused of acting according to personal ambition, wiping out all the Yakshas for name and fame, taking revenge. Now, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada points out that Dhruva had his duty to do as a ruler of the state. He had his duty to take a life for life, to kill an offender. He had to discharge his duty. Dhruva's not acting as a brahmana, he's a kshatriya. And when kshatriyas fight, they have to be angry. But, as Prabhupada points out, the nature of anger is such that it just starts expanding and expanding and expanding. So Dhruva Maharaj's anger had accomplished the job through his military expression, but there was a danger it was going to go on in an unchecked way. Now, in this history, you can see how the devotee is always protected by the Supreme Lord. It is not that you give so much service to Krishna, so much sacrifice, so much dedication, and Krishna doesn't look out for you. Krishna is more eager for us to go back to Godhead than we are ourselves. So when Dhruva Maharaj was right at the point of getting excessive, that's when Swayambhuva Manu appeared, and the grandfather told the grandson, enough is enough. You don't want to make any offenses. You don't want to risk sinful activity. He speaks very eloquently to Dhruva Maharaj,
Just consider what I've said to you. What I've said to you, my words, will act as medicinal treatment upon this disease. Control your anger. I wish all good fortune to you. Please follow my instructions. So this is Dhruva Maharaj's success. He always followed the instructions, even as a five-year-old boy, when he was overwhelmed by distress because of his father's co-wife. Still, he listened to Narada Muni. Now he's listening to Swayambhuva Manu. In this way, you can see how Dhruva can fully engage in the devotional service of the Lord with full absorption, yet he's always allowing himself to be checked by the advice of the sadhus. Emotions are a very volatile, explosive thing. Yet emotions are meant to be engaged in Krishna's service. So you can see how it is not possible for Dhruva to fight without anger. That means that anger is utilized in the service of the Lord. But Dhruva doesn't allow it to expand unlimitedly. His listening to Swayambhuva Manu shows his perfection. How the devotee acts hand in hand with the Supreme Lord by only doing what is favorable for Krishna's service. An important point we should consider is how hearing the glories of the Lord is medicine. This is a very fundamental point in our Bhagavad Dharma approach to the world. We have not the shadow of doubt that hearing about Krishna has practical effects. It cures the material disease. It gets to the root of all suffering, repeated birth and death. This is the statement of Prichit Maharaj in the 10th canto. Nivrittatarsha upagiyamana bhavochadas chocha manobirama. Hearing about Krishna through disciple succession is the characteristic of those who are Nivritta Trishna. They're free from all material hankerings. When they drink of that beverage of Krishna Katha, then that beverage acts as a medicine, bhava oshadi. It's a healing herb that cures the disease of bhava. This material existence is known as bhava sagara, the ocean of becoming and unbecoming. Things appear and disappear. Your body appears and disappears. What is the cure for that disease? Bhava sadas chokcha manobinama. Prichit Maharaj says, simply by hearing about Krishna, the contaminating disease of material existence will stop. And the medicine is very pleasing. Sometimes the most effective medicine tastes very bad. But in this case, manobirama, the medicine, the bhava oshadi of Krishna Katha, is so pleasing to the mind, manobiramat. It is a pleasure. Therefore, Prichit Maharaj wonders who would not take shelter of such a wonderful, sweet medicine. You have to be either an animal killer or someone who is dedicated to killing themselves. Otherwise, there's no way you would not take advantage of this wonderful cure. First of all, we need to accept that material existence is a problem. It's a disease. It's not a casual walk through the park. Problems happen, and problems will continue to happen, and your heart will burn. How to cure the situation at the root? The intelligent person thinks like that. And Prichit Maharaj solidly establishes by his combination with Shukadeva Goswami, that hearing about Krishna through disciple succession is a practical solution, the best practical solution. Remember Srila Prabhupada's
talks about crime, why and what to do. When he went to Chicago, he spoke like that. I have seen in your weekly news magazines, you're so overwhelmed by the crime problem. We have the solution. I remember he was talking to the mayor of Evanston, Illinois, suburb of Chicago. And Prabhupada happened to hear that the city administrative offices were changing buildings. So Prabhupada, with just being completely convinced and open, he asked the mayor when he met him, that building, the former city headquarters you're moving out of, can you please give that to us? The mayor was like, speechless, like, he very politely explained that it's not up to me, it's up to the voters, you know, this is democracy. And Prabhupada was completely earnest and honest. If you give us that building, we will have Harinam, Sankirtan, and Prasad distribution, and all the social problems will go away. I remember listening to this tape with just shock at how forthright and convinced Srila Prabhupada was to ask a mayor for the former city headquarters to be used for chanting and prasad distribution. Your, shall we say, so-called practical side of you might want to say, Prabhupada, you know, you don't do this in America. You don't just ask a mayor for the city buildings, you know, especially the former headquarters of the city. You don't ask that, you know, like that and say, we just want to chant Hare Krishna and distribute prasad there. But this is Srila Prabhupada's complete conviction and dedication to the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. By the combination of Prichit Maharaj and Shukadeva Goswami, by their talk, practical effects happen in the world. The material disease becomes cured. So this is our heritage. It is authorized. It is practical. It happens. The effect is actually there. And as you become more and more aware of the natural perplexities and complexities of this world, you'll be more and more grateful for that all-curing medicinal herb of Krishna Katha. It is not just a religious belief or religious activity, ritualistic function. It is the most practical thing you can do in this world, to hear about Krishna and to distribute the message of Krishna to others. So, Swayambhuva Manu is telling Dhruva, please follow my instructions. Shrutena Bhuyasa, constantly hear. And in that way, you can even check the force of anger, which is ordinarily something you can control. Anger is even more ferocious than lust. Because when lust is not fulfilled, then it degenerates further into something even more powerful and deadly. When anger rises in you, it consumes you even more than lust. You can't get it out of your system for years, for decades. You can see in this world how people, nations, ethnic groups, when they're angry at another person, nation or ethnic group, they maintain these grudges for centuries. One ethnic group will remember, 200 years ago, your group did this to us. We cannot forget. The anger is passed down from generation to generation. Such a powerful force. That's why in the second chapter of the Gita, Krishna points out that when lust is not fulfilled and becomes anger, the next step is bewilderment. You completely can't see, even materially, what is good for you and what is not good for you. Yet, Dhruva, as the head of state, had to use anger in its proper way. He had to administer justice. But Swayambhuva Manu was concerned. This is getting to be too much. You've done your job, and you're about to do it too well. Therefore, please listen to me. Please stop. We are not for nonviolence. We are for the application of everything perfectly in Krishna's service, even lust, anger, fear, greed. This is our inheritance through disciplic succession. As Narottam Das Thakur says, Kama Krishna Karmarpane. You use lust in Krishna's service by feeling a ferocious desire, an intense desire to use everything for Krishna's pleasure. You use fear in the service of a Lord by being afraid of the material energy. Never think, oh, I know so much about Krishna consciousness. I've been around for so many years. I don't have to take Maya so seriously. A real devotee is always afraid. The illusion is so powerful. If it's not for Krishna's grace and the grace of the devotees, I'll fall victim. And then anger. Anger is properly used against those who blaspheme the Supreme Lord, who are against Dharma. Dhruva had a service to do, and anger was required. He killed the killer of his brother, but he began to wipe out all the yakshas. That was a bit too much. So at the right moment, before he could be implicated in any sinful activity, Swayambhuva Manu came. These things happen in this world. Situations arise like that. How can you navigate through these situations unless Krishna helps you? That is how a devotee thinks. Emotions are a powerful thing. How can you properly use them in Krishna's service? You must take guidance. How can you live in this world and think that there'll never be complicated situations or perplexities? Our only shelter is the guidance from the Supreme Lord and the devotees. I'll give you a practical example. Recently in New Mexico, there was an extraordinary case of a career policeman, a model policeman from San Antonio. He was always glorified as being such a duty-bound officer who used humor to diffuse dangerous situations. So after a life in law enforcement, he retired to a small town in New Mexico in order to, live with his family and finish out his life. So he was a deputy there. Small town. The town was described as so small that when you were driving around, you didn't have to use your turn signals because everyone knew where you were going. So there he was in small town USA. And it was the night of his wedding anniversary. And also he was sick. He wasn't on duty at all. He gets a radio call. He hears it, that there's some shots fired on the other side of town. So even though he's off duty, he knows that his best friend, who's also in the police force, is involved. So he tells his best friend, even though I'm off duty, I'll go with you. So they go to this house. They see blood stains on the driveway, a car with the hatchback open. Very suspicious. They go up to the door. This, career criminal answers the door. Big burly guy. Nothing's going on here. What are you guys doing here? The blood stains from a deer I just killed. I don't know what anyone's talking about. Just disappear. So, of course, the police officers, they went and consulted amongst themselves. This looks very strange. So the friend of this man, he crept around to the back of the house to see if he could see anything suspicious. Meanwhile, a shot is fired. And so this lifelong police officer hears the shot, and he realizes something's going on. So he radios for help and rushes back to the house. And then the criminal comes out and fires a shot right past his head. And The policeman, he pulls out his gun and wounds him. The guy's down on the ground, and he handcuffs him. And then he goes into the house, and what does he find there? The dead body of an 8-month pregnant woman killed by this guy. And then he wonders, where's my mate? Where's my friend? I heard that gunshot. He goes to the back of the house and finds his lifelong friend with a bullet in his head over the rail. So after that, he says he didn't remember what happened. But he had a video camera in his car, and the video camera recorded what he did, even though he didn't remember. He came back and pulled out his gun and shot the guy in the chest and finished him off. So there was a whole big controversy in the state of New Mexico, what to do? From the viewpoint of the law, the officer was wrong. He had executed a criminal, like police execution. But the whole town was supporting him. You did us a favor. With our tax money, we're supposed to support this criminal in jail who's killed an 8-month pregnant woman and killed the best friend. So the whole town was just like, people were in tears, actually. This model citizen, how did he get implicated in this situation? Life happens like that. So they took him to court. Reluctantly, they gave him a year sentence. The man was just wondering, why me? Why did this happen to me? Everyone can understand. His anger got out of control. He was shocked to see his best friend for many years with a bullet in his head. Shocked to see an 8-month pregnant woman dead. So he just lost it. I'll finish this guy off. Everyone could understand that. But at the same time, the man said himself, we have laws. I crossed the line. I've got to take the consequences. This is the nature of this world. Unless we have guidance from superior authorities, we're going to fail in situations like that. Of course, from the Manusamhita's point of view, the police officer was justified. But from the ordinary law, it wasn't. The federal government said, if the local state officials don't try him, then we're going to accuse him of a civil rights violation and he could get life in prison. So therefore, the local courts had to act. They gave him a year's sentence like that. This is the nature of material existence. Things happen. So certainly, you can have compassion on Dhruva Maharaj, who is doing his duty. And we can also learn, of course, from Dhruva. He was guided by the sages. Apparently, he had become overwhelmed by some kind of temporary illusion. But as we heard in class yesterday by Archana Prabhu, his illusion, apparent illusion, is exemplary for all of us, how to handle ourselves in such a situation. The same thing happened to Yudhisthira Maharaj at the end of the Battle of Kurukshetra. Krishna was leaving Hastinapur to go back to Dwarka. And Yudhisthira implored, please, just stay a few days longer. He stopped the Supreme Personality of Godhead from departing. Krishna agreed. And then Yudhisthira presented his deep despair. So much killing has gone on just for me, to put me in the position. How will I ever become purified of such horrible sins? If I spend millions of years in hell, it won't be enough. Yudhisthira's feeling like that. He's a soft-hearted devotee of the Lord. But also, by Krishna's will, Yudhisthira is overwhelmed with bodily attachment. And therefore, he's lamenting like this. Krishna has a plan. Now, the Bhagavatam describes that the Lord is Adbhutakarmana, the performer of superhuman acts. But that greatest performer of activities, of wondrous activities, failed to satisfy Yudhisthira Maharaj. Vyasadeva was there. Krishna was there personally. They both quoted histories from the Itihasas, from the Puranas. Nothing would satisfy Yudhisthira Maharaj. Nothing would stop his despair. So, do we have here a situation in which Krishna has failed? The performer of superhuman feats could not deal with Yudhisthira's situation? No. As Srila Prabhupada points out in a purport, this situation shows Krishna's even more superhuman activities. As the super soul in the heart of Yudhisthira, Krishna made it happen that Yudhisthira would not be satisfied by what he said. As the super soul in the heart of Vyasadeva, Krishna made it so that Vyasadeva's words wouldn't satisfy Yudhisthira. Why? Because Krishna had a bigger plan in mind. I want Yudhisthira to go to Bhishma, and I want Bhishma to come off as being even more knowledgeable than the Supreme Lord himself. That is how affectionate Krishna is to his devotees. Sometimes in management circles it's said that the way you get things for yourself is to help others to get what they want. The more you help others to get what they want, without thinking, the more you'll get what you want. If you help others to achieve their dreams, then that is the most effective way that you can do your administration. So just see how Krishna is acting in that way. He wants Bhishma Dev to come across as being even more knowledgeable than the Supreme Lord himself. Therefore, he, from within the heart of Yudhisthira and Vyasadeva, arranges that no one can solve Yudhisthira's crisis. Not even the words coming from the Supreme Lord himself. And try to understand the depths of Yudhisthira's despair. Aho me pashyata gyanam. Riti ruto duratmanam. Just see my heart, how sinful it is. Just see what I've done. It is impossible to cleanse my situation. Just like you can't take mud and filter muddy water. You can't take wine and clean a wine-stained pot. Similarly, there's no way I can perform any atonement to solve my situation. This is extraordinary despair. But this is caused by Krishna. He wants to teach us what to do when such crises happen to us. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, Yudhisthira Maharaj had succumbed to sneha moha, the illusion of bodily affection and attachment. So Krishna wants Bhishma Dev to cure that problem. And so the Pandavas and Krishna all go in an extraordinarily opulent entourage to hear from Bhishma Dev. And what is the first thing Bhishma Dev does? He points out to Yudhisthira, don't you remember all the suffering you went through? This is Bhishma Dev's strategy. To remind Yudhisthira that your family has gone through hell because of Duryodhana and company. Don't you remember? Yudhisthira is so pure-hearted, he's forgotten all the misery that Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana have put him through. And he's simply thinking, all the misery I've caused by killing that whole family just so I could be king. So Bhishma Dev reminds him. And by the will of Krishna, Bhishma Dev's words are effective. So we can see these situations happening in Bhagavatam, in Bhagavad Gita. But because the guidance of the Lord is there, everything always comes out perfectly. Everyone knows about Arjuna's situation. He was also overwhelmed by the sneha moha, the bewilderment of bodily affection. He was preaching to Krishna, who's Dharma himself. What's the point of fighting? Nimittani chapashyami viparitani keshava. I can't see how any good is going to come by fighting this battle. I only see the opposite results happening than what we expect. Kim no rajena govinda, kim bhogai jiva tenava. How are we going to get anything good out of this? What's the use of a kingdom, happiness, even life itself, if we have to fight the swajana, our own bodily relatives, our own men? What's the point of all this? In this situation, Krishna began to speak to Arjuna and reminded him, first of all, you're a Kshatriya, you have to fight. Secondly, you're my devotee. I desire the battle. So we see in all these situations, Yudhisthira, Arjuna, Dhruva, powerful emotions at work. And we also see the guidance of the Supreme Lord at every step. This shows you how wonderful bhakti yoga is. It's not that to render devotional service, we become like stones. We have no inner life, no inner dynamics. No, the Bhagavatam and the Gita are full of perfect emotional dynamics. They're perfect because they're used perfectly in the service of the Lord. We can also see that the nature of this world is that things happen, complexities happen, tough situations come up. But if the guidance of the Lord and his representatives are there, then there's always success. That was Bhishma Dev's conclusion he gave to Yudhisthira Maharaj. You were always protected by the Lord, the Brahmana devotees, and Dharma. Therefore, you came out successful. So we should remember that, because in our own way, we'll see situations that are complicated, that are beyond our capacity to handle. But if we act under the guidance of the Lord and his devotees, we'll also come out successful. Even when in some situations it appears that we're momentarily bewildered or suffering from a bodily attachment, because we've always put ourselves in the situation of hearing from the Lord and being guided by Dharma and the devotees, we'll come out successful. I will stop here and ask any questions. Very wonderful sections of the Bhagavatam, and we can go on speaking for hours. Prabhupada loved to speak about that section of the Bhagavatam with Yudhisthira's lamentation. It's very emotionally powerful, showing you the full life of a devotee, how all the faculties are involved, intelligence, emotions. It's quite extraordinary what the Bhagavatam is teaching us. Yes.
I have an example of what you talked about. For generations, people get back at some group because of something they did. When I was raised in Pennsylvania, I had a friend who was a gypsy, in a gypsy family. And apparently, the Catholic Church did something to him like 1,000 or 1,500 years ago. So because they're doing something to gypsies, the gypsies wanted to get back. So he would go to, he went to a private Catholic school. And because he had the third or fourth highest grades in the state, they wanted to keep him there. But he would stay at the school and do things to harass the school and embarrass the school publicly just to get back at them. And because he had high grades, they wouldn't throw him out. So because of something they did more than 1,000 years ago, this family was harassing the Catholic Church.
Yes, this is how powerful anger is. Generation after generation, it can be sustained. Thank you for that comment. Hare Krishna, glory to the Lord. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare.